everyone. It's my pleasure to be here. And as the video outlines, and also as is discussed throughout this morning, is the world is facing some major challenges. 50 million people still die around the world of infectious disease. Air pollution is the fourth leading risk factor for health. And it's estimated that 1.8 billion people have been affected by disaster over the last decade. And the Sustainable Development Goals give us the targets to help us transform our world, to end the epidemics of AIDS and tuberculosis, to reduce the adverse environmental impacts, and to strengthen our resilience to climate change or disasters. Now, these all represent very complex challenges and therefore require innovations and new partnerships to solve. And we hope that big data can play a role there to help governments and relief agencies to better understand, predict, plan, and respond to these critical situations. And this is why the GSMA launched the Big Data for Social Good initiative, to really build on existing experiences and try and fast track the deployment of these solutions. And so if you imagine, for example, if you can better understand the movement patterns or behavioral patterns of communities with high infectious disease so that health agencies can make better decisions and better target interventions. Imagine that you can predict air pollution hotspots before they occur so that local government can take preventative steps. Or imagine that in times of an earthquake or floods, you can quickly understand where people are, which individuals are cut off from aid so that you can really direct your resources. This is what an advisory panel of experts, global experts from UN agencies and partners, and a task force of 20 operators from around the world is coming together to make this a reality today. Together, we are working on developing best practice guidelines, and we've developed a blueprint summarizing the technical ecosystem and policy lessons learned and recommendations. And we've also deployed trials with Telefonica in Brazil, with Airtel in India, and with Telenor in Bangladesh, Myanmar, and Thailand to really demonstrate a tangible impact on the ground. And so I'm really pleased that I'll be chairing a panel with you today where some of the key participants of our initiatives will share their thoughts and insights and their experiences on big data for social good. So I'd like to invite first Dr. Pedro Sanchez, Head of Big Data for Social Good at Telefonica. Then Samir Pujari, Technical Officer at the WHO, as well as Kate Wilson, CEO of the Digital Impact Alliance. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me. And maybe starting with Pedro. So Telefonica has really invested in big data and is building out a significant capability within its organization. And you've really been a supporter and driver of the Big Data for Social Good initiative from the outset. Could you explain a bit more? Why is Telefonica investing in big data? What do you see as the opportunity here?
Yeah. So it was like 4 years ago that we realized as a company that we were driving the data to take better decisions inside the company. So we are achieving more efficiency internally in operations, purchases, marketing, and so many areas that at the end we realized that we could help others to achieve the same transformation, digital transformation driven by data. So this is why we created 3 years ago the Chief Data Officer Unit led by Chema Alonso, who is our Chief Data Officer. And we also created the Luca Data Unit. Luca is a business unit devoted to offer big data and analytics to other corporations and organizations. So our president, José María Álvarez Pallete, 2 years ago, he published an article in the World Economic Forum with his commitment to the SDGs. And after that article, I was leading a video analytics group, so we were talking to him and tell us to do it. And I asked for his commitment, I asked for a team to execute, and I asked for our assets, technology and data to do it. And I got it. So I was a bit scared. We are a small team, but we are standing on shoulders on the shoulders of giants. And this is part of the activity we do as a company for the social good. So there is one part to connect the unconnected. Yesterday, it was announced a partnership between Telefonica and Facebook to decrease dramatically the cost of connectivity in Latin America to the level of $5 per month. And we have also Telefonica Foundation doing philanthropy with the digital education and other social areas. But we are not about philanthropy. We really want to make a sustainable case study supporting the SDGs. So this is what we have been doing in the last 2 years.
That's amazing. Yeah. And considering that you have your team and Telefonica is leading so much in this space, why did you find it important to join the Big Data for Social Good initiative? Why did you want to collaborate with other operators and partners on this?
Well, for me, this was like a miracle, creating such a group, because our president asked me for three things. The first thing he asked me is, you need to demonstrate value and impact. So that was easy. There is a lot of scientific evidence on the value of data and the impact. If you search in Google, you find so many pilots and experiences demonstrating the use of mobile data for the greater good. The second goal was, you need to create and support momentum. So I cannot do this alone as a company. So this is where GSMA takes a vital role. You are creating a fabulous ecosystem with operators where we talk all the same language. And you're engaging with demand side agencies where we can impact. We actually impact. We hear their needs and we hear their demands and we take this into working systems. And the third goal he asked me to do is to make it sustainable. We don't want one-off pilots anymore because this is something that we are used to. And I think this is the next goal we need to achieve all together.
Yeah, fantastic. And I'm really pleased that the initiative is helping build those bridges across
helping a lot.
Demand side and supply side. I think that was one of the key roles that we wanted to play there. So could you talk a bit more about the trial that you're working on in Brazil? Well, it's completed now, the service. Could you explain a little bit more, what was the role of mobility data in developing an air pollution model?
Okay, so yes, when we started our activity, we focused on three areas. One was air quality, air pollution. The other one was epidemics. And the third one was natural disasters. Mm-hmm. In the three case studies, in the three lines, mobility has a key role. So we know in big cities like Sao Paulo, Madrid, or any big city in the world, there are some pollutants that are intimately cross-related with mobility. And specifically with the motor vehicles. We can find that. We have these insights into our system. We have a product, which is a mobility product, that we were exploiting for other businesses like transport or tourism. And I just took the same asset the business is using for yet another thing and put it in the social good initiative. And of course, we rely on open data from the government on Sao Paulo. Open data, this is something I need to insist over and over, is vital to make this happen. So we need to promote the use of open data as well as sharing our insights as a private sector. So what we had the demand from the Vivo operation is that, look, we have here a problem. The city has just a few monitoring stations in the city. It's a city with 12 million inhabitants, and we had the same problem in Madrid, in Spain, and in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So we thought this was a case for scaling the need of something better than the working system and that they had. So this is why we use analytics, machine learning, in order to predict air pollution levels. We wanted to not only predict him quality levels, like poor or bad or good quality, but the actual number. Something that they could really do something with it. Yeah. And we are humble. We are not expert in the environmental sciences. This is a complex science. We are not doing that. We are just providing another source of information so that they can improve their mobility models, the way they manage the exposure of citizens to pollution, which is critical. It's not only controlling the emissions, it's also controlling what people are exposed to that pollutants. Yeah. So this is what we are providing to them. And we are now leading conversations with the Town Hall of Madrid and Sao Paulo in order to make not a commercial, but something they can pay for with no profit, but sustainable in time.
Yeah. That's amazing. And just to delve a little bit deeper, so when you talked earlier, the key is always the impact. How can the local municipality then use this? What steps could they take using this information?
Yes. So right now, I think it is vital whenever there is, we are focusing on alerts now. I'm also creating like a vulnerability or risk of pollution according to our continuous measurement. So versus the discrete pollution measurement. So the first thing we are trying to impact is to advance with 48 hours whenever there is going to be a peak of pollution. Mm-hmm. When this happens, they activate a protocol that restricts the number of vehicles that can access the downtown. And this has a major impact in the whole city.
Yeah.
Everyone is delayed because they have to take another transport. So they want to take this data-driven decision on when to close the center and what to do when this happens.
Amazing,
So this is the first impact we are aiming for. So we are going step by step and demonstrating value from immediate insights, which are alerts.
Yeah, so the local municipality is able to take immediate action based on based on your data.
Yes.
That's amazing. So moving to Samir, so you lead the WHO ITU Be Healthy Be Mobile initiative, who's working with governments around the world to leverage mobile technology to address national health strategies. Now you've joined the advisory panel, you're also working with us on a trial in India. Could you say a little bit more about what do you see the opportunity of big data for healthcare? And what's the current state of development within this space? Is big data used already, or is it more early days?
Thanks, Jeanine. I'm glad it's not early days still, because I wouldn't be happy sitting here if it's early days. I'm glad it's moved forward. But why, and the reference to this point, just to give you a context of health and the priorities of how it's structured. We've got a new Director General at WHO, Dr. Tedros, who's come on, and he's got a very clear vision of three main areas that he wants to focus on. He wants to have 1 billion people having better access to health in the next 5 years. He wants 1 billion more people having safe sort of environment in terms of in emergencies, and 1 billion people who are healthier over the next 5 years. And big data has a big role in each of these different people, each of these different areas, because each of these 1 billion people are made up of an individual. And big data has the potential, which I'll talk about in a bit than you showed in the video, of how this can make a difference from the top level to the ground up level, the human-centered, the case for change that was mentioned about. I think that's what the potential for big data is and lies out there. We have been working, as you mentioned, on using mobile data for making an impact on access to healthcare, on behavioral change. But big data has the opportunity to use from the outside the knowledge, the additional information that can provide the behavioral change aspects, the information for access to healthcare, the information about emergencies, sort of safety situation. So I think that's a big key area, and I think this has been realized by the senior management. And thankfully, it's not early days, but I think there's a lot of push and demand, which is why we're already working on some of the work with you guys.
Yeah, and I guess that's also driving the value. So why did you join the Big Data for Social Good initiative? Why did you want to work with other partners in this area?
Thanks to GSMA, first and foremost, for starting this initiative, because the big challenge is bringing together the people to do these kind of things. Now, the question is why? Mm-hmm. I think the potential is known. We have 110,000 people in this Congress that shows that there is a lot of potential for digital. The potential is known, but it has to be showcased on the ground to make the impact. How can big data be used to make a change in the health policy, how can a person on the ground benefit from it? That's what needed to be shown, which is why we joined hands with GSMA, and thanks for bringing those partners together. Pedro mentioned that telecoms don't have the expertise in the topic area. WHO does, the UN agencies together do that. So I think it's a perfect marriage to bring together the big data to make sure that we have very strong outcomes and concrete social sort of goods on the ground.
Yeah, thank you. And you're also really tangibly delivering that impact by working with us and Airtel on the project in India. It was mentioned in the video. Could you explain a bit more why tuberculosis? What's the current challenge being faced in India?
Sure. I mean, why tuberculosis? It's the start. They got the lucky tip, but because TB is a big, big problem. I mean, India is the capital of TB in the world. And we're not just doing TB. It's a combination of TB and tobacco as the project we're looking at specifically. So clearly there was a case. The government is heavily investing. They're trying to eradicate, working towards end TB strategy. So there's a lot of action that needs to be done on TB. So that was a clear rationale why we picked TB. How to do that? So what we've done is we're using mobility data with Airtel and GSMA to see and identify where we can focus. So TB is prominently present. We see there's the population moves a lot across the different communities. And we've seen also with the government data that when the patients move, the populations move, there's a drop in the TB incidences. Now, this is not natural because the drops is not in the TB incidences. It is drop in the reporting. People are being dropped off reporting. They don't report when they're moving. Yeah. And so with the mobility data, we're trying to see what pockets of locations in this route are we finding where people are not being reported. So the government can take on the ground action and focus more on advocacy and more on outreach of that specific locations. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's making a difference looking at big data, mobility data, but on the ground impact and impacting those people on the ground to see, can we track TB, can we help them take medication, can they access to medication? So I think that's the sort of strength and beauty of this whole thing.
Oh, fantastic. So leading to direct action as well and impact.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Samir. And Kate, also you have vast experience in deploying projects on the ground. You're working in different countries to actually leverage data, also to address health and humanitarian challenges. So what is, from your perspective, the key in moving from, you know, ad hoc projects or research to real tangible impact? How do you create the longevity of these initiatives?
Thanks. It's something that actually each of you have mentioned, and so I'd sort of like to draw maybe a couple of themes. I think one of them is, and Samira, you started to talk about this idea of a shared vocabulary. Right now we have sectors who all understand their point of view, but we don't yet have a shared understanding.
Absolutely.
From the perspective of health, which I came from, of, you know, what is it really like to be Telefonica and the pressures that you face? Similarly, you don't really quite yet understand which data elements that you have may actually be applicable by sector. Yeah. I'm pleased that actually tomorrow the Digital Impact Alliance is actually launching a paper that starts to look at some of those, including mobility, that looks at what some of those early indicators are and elements that can come out of the CDR that can be easily used, be safe from a privacy and regulatory perspective without being concerned, but are applicable across sector. So I think that shared vocabulary is a big part of it. I think the second is a shared value proposition. We've all talked about this. How do we make this sustainable? The critical part there is that we do have to move this, and I was heartened by the earlier speaker said this isn't CSR, but we have to move this out of, you're doing this purely out of the goodness of your heart. I come out of business before I moved into the nonprofit sector, and you know, fundamentally, we have to understand what's the right price point to value the data to unlock some of this data in a sustainable way. And that means institutionalizing the way that we unlock this so that you are protected from concerns that you might have from a regulatory and privacy concern, that there's actual value proposition and financial returns for the operator, but that there's also true questions that are being asked and that we've aggregated demand on the NGO side of what things do we really need to try and answer and how do we answer them effectively versus just saying, give us all your data, which is a non-starter. I'd say the third thing, and we're really pleased with our partnership with working with GSMA on in the BD for Social Good panel, is that this idea of we have to start moving from our 200 plus pilots to a concentrated way to figure out what's actually working and not working and unlock some of those institutionalization models. Like, My hope is that next year we're sitting here saying, you know, here's how everyone can make this incredibly turnkey versus talking about one more pilot. And so we're really excited to be working with you all on the development of that learning framework so that even if we're running pilots, in our case, in Tanzania or Malawi or Uganda or India or in Brazil, that we're documenting those in somewhat of a shared way and we're kind of saying, okay, this analytics platform matters. This set of open data is actually critical. These are the data elements. And I think the more that we can work together as a sector to actually do that in collaboration, the faster we will unlock this. I was struck really by your comment earlier when you said, you know, imagine a possibility. I'd sort of like it to say, like, imagine the possibility of a turnkey solution versus just the possibility of the data. Because that part we know, and we've been proving it. Now I think we all need to challenge ourselves to move to, you know, making this so institutionalized that it's as easy as looking at your phone to tell, you know, how many steps you took walking from hall four here.
20,000.
20,000, I think, yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice hook, but it's really, it's also one of the main missions of the Big Data for Social Good initiative, is to establish that common framework, that consistent approach that can be replicated across different use cases, across different countries. And tangibly, in your projects, are there some tools you use or some methodologies? How do you realize these things? For example, you say the importance of a tangible impact and sustainability or collaboration. What are the models that you apply to deliver on that on the ground in your projects?
So we're testing a few things that I think are similar in aspiration and impact to what you all are testing, but are slightly different approaches just because also who we are. So we're the Digital Impact Alliance. We're housed in the UN Foundation. So our natural home or first point of call probably is more the implementer side or the country level side. So what we've done is actually take a slightly different entry point. And in that, what we're doing is we are working with large projects that already are using data to a significant level to guide country-level decision-making. So in immunizations in Tanzania, in food insecurity in Uganda, and in the location of health facilities or where they should be located for Malawi, and tying that into efforts that are being made around AIDS. Specifically, what we're doing is we're working with them to identify from the ministry-level perspective what's the problem or specific question you're trying to answer that you can't get through routine information systems that you already have access to. We then take that with the permission and the regulatory structure already in place, because then it's much easier conversation to have with a regulator to say, we already have the permission from, you know, the other groups. And then we go directly to the operators, be it Airtel or Millicom Tigo, and we ask them to for very specific data elements. And then what we're doing is we're working with systems integrators to actually help pull out analytics platforms and test different analytics platforms and making investments in those, as well as pulling out algorithmic banks where we can look at common algorithms that then can be used and shared openly with the community. And so we think that by taking a slightly different approach, but testing kind of how that works, we can begin to think about both the open data or open standards that need to be constructed in a common data architecture that we can all benefit from, as well as looking at the business models that are going to be required. So what's the pricing for that data need to look like?
Yeah, amazing. And Pedro, so Kate outlined some of the success factors and key enablers. From a mobile operator perspective, what are some of the challenges in doing this? Because it's not straightforward to actually roll out these services and reach that implementation and impact. So if you would call out one challenge or hurdle that you're facing, what would that be?
Well, we have several challenges. I have to tell the truth. The first challenge is inside the company. I invest much more effort in convincing my colleagues from different countries to do it. Because our president is a commitment from our president, it's a top-down strategy, but I work every day to execute. So I have to convince from data analysts to managers to marketing to those who see a threat in the business. I cannot give data away. We can give insights. So the challenge is to demonstrate to the company how this is this has a feedback and an impact, a positive impact back, not necessarily by a profit or income, but other side impacts. We need to, somebody told before, we need to feel good citizens. So touching the heart of the organization is critical. The other impact, challenge that I have is that at first time, my request to the company was the data. Give me the data, I will do the magic. Now my request is not the data, it's connecting to the real-time platform. For many, many case studies, for example, disaster response, data is good. You can analyze, you can make post-mortem analysis, but if you want to really help, you need to have real-time data. You need to connect to the platform, to the operations of the country, and get the feedback from there. So that is a challenge because we need to touch the core of the company. Mm-hmm. You're touching. So when we try to say and to do this, they all tell me, will you shut down our 4G network by doing this process? This is a question I have. Because we are running heavy processing on Spark, on big data, so this is a threat for the operations. Mm. So, but I think we need to achieve this. We want to make it working, so we need to have real-time data for epidemics, for disaster response. I want to know whenever an earthquake, like in Mexico last year, happened, where these people who lost their homes are sleeping today. Because we need to drive the help there. I don't need the data tomorrow, but I'm today. Yeah. So this is my challenge now. This is what we are trying to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And if that's realized, and I'm sure it will be, Samir, so where do you see the trial program moving next in India? So what do you see, the expansion of this? What other opportunities do you see?
Infinite. I think that's the big strength of this big data opportunity is once you've set a trend, it's just infinite what we can do with this. It can be easily replicated, start with in multiple countries where we have the TB epidemic, in different disease areas that we have. Of course, I mean, the growth will be there, but it's the proof will be in the pudding. As soon as we start seeing the results, governments will take it up. They will replicate it, not only for TB, but for all the other situations in health problems. And I think the opportunities are infinite, and that's where we are setting ourselves up. So be prepared for the road ahead. But I think it's amazing. It's very, very promising to see that. Yeah.
Fantastic. And Kate, your thoughts when you look ahead, say next 3 to 5 years, where do you hope this space to be?
I think it harkens back to a little bit what I said before. I hope that this is as easy to do for an operator, for the WHO, for a financial services provider, for an education program, as it is for us just to use our phone. That our ability to have turnkey solutions that actually can tap into the power of data, that rewards the operator for their effort, that protects citizens from challenges of how some of that data can be used, but that really unlocks the power in such a way that anyone can turn it on. I think that that's where we all have to move. And so I'm so excited for your team's leadership and helping move this forward. And I think it's just a great illustrator of the commitment overall from the MNO space to the SDGs and supporting it. Because this, to Allison's point earlier this morning, was, how do we turn our commitment into action? This is actually one of the most critical things for us to unlock to turn the SDG commitments into action.
Thank you. And just one final question, as I see we're running out of time. If you have one final thought for the audience, so imagine everyone is going home back week, that next week we'll be back in the offices. What's the one thing that someone could do or the key takeaway they could hold on to from this session? Same question to each of you with a brief answer. Pedro?
Well, we have several takeaways, but one important takeaway, whenever you are doing data science or approaching big data problems as a whole, not only social good, is to bring push the effort to bring the right questions to the table before all. It's not working on epidemics, it's what question, what answer do you want for what problem, and then look for the data. Many people are asking us, academia, other institutions, for the data without the questions, and that doesn't work. We need to find the questions, then look for the data. It's better quality data than big data. So sometimes we are obsessed by the size of the data sets and the assets, but it's much better having quality small data sets rather than huge data sets. And we need to find the commitment of all the parties. So we, as a private company, we are sharing data and insights. What are doing the others? Will you take this to the field? Will you apply these insights really, or will you present in these insights to a committee and that's all? So commitment of, from all parties is also critical. So those are the main insights we have.
Samir, key takeaway?
Sure, I think the key principle I would think for people, I mean, this is the people who want to invest and do analytics on big data, so keep it simple, keep it impactful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that will make a difference. Big data is a we need to demystify big data, something that can be understood by the people who are not from this world. Yeah. They have a different world with this. I think that's the key for making this a success and make it impactful. I think that will help it.
Thank you. And Kate?
Pedro nicely highlighted what was the need sort of on the demand side to both aggregate that demand and ask better questions of it. Mm-hmm. I'd say my ask to the supply side is that we work together to both figure out what is an accurate value for data and what types of data are easier to provide than others, and take the time to help aggregate, to educate the demand side on exactly what is easy and hard. We're trying to help do that as well as the pricing around that. Mm-hmm. Because you'll get a higher level of volume if it's more understandable and priced in an accurate way, and figuring out a way to move this past just a pure CSR play. Because we won't move past one-off pilots until we actually have figured out that dance between the supply and demand.
Understood.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all very much for your contributions, your thoughts, and also personal thanks for all your leadership and commitment to the Big Data for Social Good initiative over the last year. I think we've made tremendous progress. Thanks to you all.